That was fun. That was fun. Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. This is the first meeting of the Education, Finance, and Economic Competitiveness Committee. I can't tell you how many times people have stopped me somewhere in the building or on the street saying, "What's that committee you chair? What's it going to do? Does it have any meaning?" And so today at the first meeting, it's really kind of exciting to be able to tell you, of course it has meaning. This is the most exciting thing that's happened to me in all the years that I've been here, and that's a few. To think that I have some way of putting my fingerprints on over $1 billion of new spending is really exciting to me. And it should be to every one of you, because we can make a difference. We can make recommendations on how that money should be split up and what our priorities should be and what Representative Slawik's priorities should be, and Representative Rukavina's priorities should be, and Representative Mariana's priorities, and Representative Greiling's priorities. I don't want to mislead you into thinking that it's an easy task, because it really isn't. Because according to the directions that you received about committees, we have overarching jurisdiction. And what does that mean? I didn't know. I had to look it up. But we have an arch over all of education. And we're not talking the institutions and buildings necessarily, or the 3 feet tall children, or the 6 feet tall children, or the graduate student. We're talking about education for every single person in this state, once they're born until they die. Everyone has opportunities and is faced with need for new learning. And we can't close the door on them just because they don't fit into an institution or they're not at a particular age or geographic boundaries that exclude them. We have to think beyond. We have to think of that new baby. We have to think of what did we do to train the parents of the new baby. And we have to think about them all the way through the institutions. And then we have to think about training for jobs and retraining for jobs as our economy changes, as our local economies change, as economic necessities create new jobs, new technologies, and where we're going in the world. It's a huge, huge responsibility, I think. Some of education transcends the traditional K-12, early childhood, higher ed. Some things go beyond. Then there's common threads all the way through. And we have to define those. And we have our say on what's happening to all the finance and appropriations pertaining to education at every level and every program. We do not have any accounts. We do not have any programs. But we will determine from the total amount of money allotted for education how much money will be available for each of the other education divisions to appropriate. And when you think of education, general title education, having about half the total budget of the state of Minnesota, that's a huge number and a huge responsibility. We do have the ability to discuss, to study, to gather information, to take testimony, to develop conclusions, and make recommendations and influence the other education divisions as much as we want. People have said, what are those threads you were talking about? Or what were those issues that transcend one committee from another committee? And just a handful that has come from people or in conversations or just jump up. Things like the university specials, the job training programs, post-secondary options, college in the schools, school to work, community ed, adult basic, summer school programs, after-school achievement, community service, AmeriCorps, VISTA, national service, absenteeism, transportation costs, old buildings, special ed, libraries, counseling, at risk, fair funding, reasonable tuition, trust, reform. And there's a long line that haven't been mentioned, but you will bring it out a little bit later in committee today, I think, when you tell me what your goals are and what your priorities are. We have the opportunity to create dialogue and discussion outside of the traditional educational divisions. We have the opportunity to develop a vision of education as lifelong learning for the future. We have the opportunity to question some baseline funding and offer some efficiencies. We have the opportunity to determine funding priorities that will provide stability for future educational committees. I think that's a lot. I think it's a good thing, and I think together we can develop a voice for education for the future. To begin, put these ideas together, I've asked the chairs of the divisions to tell me what their goals and financial priorities are. And I would like to begin with Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And I do want to add that I think that this is really an exciting opportunity. I don't think we've, at least in the 15-plus years I've been here, I don't think we've ever had a committee quite like this. And I think it offers some really exciting opportunities for not only the education stream, but just, you know, for the legislature in general, to really go through some pretty important renewal processes, if nothing else, in terms of being able to have the kind of discussions that sometimes in the past we've not been able to have because we have to some degree compartmentalized key important parts of education in separate divisions and separate committees. And so I think I'm pleased to be a member of this committee, in large part because I look forward to a real good creative process of really restructuring for Minnesota and for the legislature, new ways to talk about education in a highly collaborative, highly connected way that spans the real life experience that young people, or that all people have in our educational system, that it really is a experience that begins very early and continues into adult lifelong learning. And everything that happens everywhere along that pathway determines what comes next in that pathway. And so I'm really pleased to be able to do this. Let me just very quickly go through four or five overall goals that I hope to have in our E-12 policy committee. The first, and we've already begun this in the last couple of weeks, is really for our committee to set up a working framework for policies that can help our state close educational disparities, or what's commonly known as the achievement gap in K-12. In other words, to be able to come to some common understandings of our best thoughts, our best practices, that we can then measure our policy, our future policy and finance decisions against, in terms of how those contribute to making sure that all students succeed in our schools. So really setting up that working framework. Second, it is my hope that our committee can set up a stronger review and ownership over our state's K-12 standards framework. Our standards are really one of the strongest manifestations in which we have set goals for ourselves in terms of what our outcomes will be in Minnesota. And increasingly, we want those outcomes to be world-class quality educational outcomes. And so my hope is that our committee will be able to have even stronger ownership in reviewing those standards and making sure that all kids are able to receive the benefit of new instruction based to those high standards. Third, I think that there is, and I've heard this from a number of members, a strong sense of wanting to influence how we can enhance quality teaching in our state, again, tied to those world-class standards. We have the majority, Madam Chair, the majority of members of my committee are teachers. So it's a little intimidating, I have to say. I often feel like I need to raise my hand just to speak to my committee members. But they almost to a person, have brought a strong sense of a sense of responsibility to be able to certainly review and perhaps update policy and appropriations that can help our state's teachers be better at what they do. I think the other goal for our committee is to provide strong policy direction for the exciting work that Representative Slawick and Representative Greiling will be leading and their respective finance divisions. And so to the degree that we can vet some good policy discussions for decisions that they'll eventually be making in appropriations, we want to be able to do that in our committee. And then finally, Madam Chair, I hope that we're able to conduct ourselves in our committee in a way where we're really expanding ownership in a very transparent way for all Minnesotans over our E-12 system. And by that, I mean being very intentional about making sure that diversity of voices and opinions are heard and vetted by geography, by racial ethnic background, by income, by ideology as well. And I think that if we are successful in doing that, we can enhance ownership of our E-12 system at the end of the day.
Wonderful. Representative Greiling is chair of the Education K-12 Education Finance Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And before I start, I just have to say how pleased I am to serve on a committee chaired by Representative Mary Murphy. This is my 15th year in the legislature, and the whole time I've been here, members who have served on her committees are always raving about how fairly and well done they are. And I, for 6 years, was right across the offices with her, sharing a common legislative assistant, and I saw this parade of legislators from both parties always going to her office and thanking her, and you know, just so much always included and a part of the whole discussion. And so she has always been my role model for being a committee chair, and finally after 15 years I get to serve on one of her committees. So I'm very pleased, and I hope we all know how lucky we are. I'm also, of course, very pleased to get a chance to chair the K-12 Finance Committee, and I think there's five of us here that are on that committee. And so I will say that we aren't at all done with coming up with our priorities and goals, and I'm very much, because I am modeling things on the way Representative Murphy does things, wanting to include everybody. So as I am speaking for the early days of our committee goals, I want to put in the caveat that I, you know, hope that it will be broadened, the whole discussion, as the whole group of us gets to weigh in before we get to the end. But so I'll be speaking for myself, and then what I have heard, you know, because I am meeting systematically with all the members of the committee, and they're coming in and saying what their goals and priorities are. And we haven't finished that up yet. We're finishing up with the last of the committee members this week. So this is not carved in stone. But I think it's safe to say, though, that the K-12 finance members are committed to having an excellent education for all students wherever they live around the state. That should just be our baseline financial assumptions. And based on that, we would like at least a 3% increase in the general formula each year for all the school districts. The school district's funding needs to be at least trying to keep up with inflation so that districts all around the state, no matter what circumstances, have enough flexible money so they can be creative in their own local districts. And this might be showing that I'm a former school board member, but I just think we don't have all the good ideas here in St. Paul. And so former school board members like Representative Eastland and Representative Demmer, and are there other former school board members here besides us? Representative Heidgerken and Hamilton. Okay, there's even Representative Tilbury is a school board member, just came from the school board, that's right. And so, you know, I think that school boards should have enough room to be able to use creativity based on local circumstances. So having just general money on the formula is a high priority. And then, as Representative Mariani explained so well, as he always does, the other funding that we will be looking at will be to look at funding that could be research-based that addresses the educational disparities or the achievement gap for various types of students all around the state. And we are the K-12 committee, a very good use of our dollars could be the all-day kindergarten, which would get the kids to maintain the kind of gains that they could get with the type of funding that Representative Slawik will probably be talking about soon. There's a lot of members of our committee, as they've come in, have mentioned special education as one of the causes of learning disparities, and that's one of the types of funding that I think we'll be spending a lot of time taking a look at. And of course, if we don't fund that, then other types of students with their types of needs also have problems, because the funding for special education is mandated. And then if you have other things you would like to do for students that also would address the achievement gap, it kind of is blown out of the water when we have the kind of cross-subsidies that we currently have for special education. We will be doing in our committee some of the property tax relief that Representative Marquardt's committee will be discussing, because the formulas that are in education finance are part of that discussion. And so we have to, we know that what formulas we expect school boards to levy on property taxes is money that it's in the way of schools passing levy referendums. So when we look at property tax relief, our committee will be a big part of that discussion. And a lot of that will have to be carried in our bill, even though we want it clear that it really is property tax relief and not money for classrooms. And then I'm just going to, I think the rest of our discussion will be what are the best ways to do the most for the most students and make sure that we don't have the learning disparities. And we have all the geographic regions, of course, represented on our district, on our committee. And so various types of districts will have various types of bills that hopefully will have a balanced package beyond funding for all school districts that will help with some of the special needs that are come in with geography with different types of districts and then with different types of students. And that could include children who don't speak English, the world language that we're glad the governor's talking about as well, the gifted and talented students who have special needs, the college and the schools, international baccalaureate, advanced placement, libraries and technology, which are equalizers for students, and after school, summer school, the kind of programs where kids can catch up. So those are kind of, Madam Chair, the main categories, and we have a long list for our goals that will probably include a lot more things than that, but I think you just wanted the highlights, right?
That's correct. Thank you. Yeah. But I can't, when I think of them, when I think of all this, that's a lot of work to do between now and April.
Yes.
Yes, we'll get it done. Representative Slawik is chair of the Early Childhood and Learning Finance Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, you said that it was one of the most exciting things that's happened to you since you came to the legislature was chairing this committee. Mm-hmm. And I have to agree with you. For my committee, this is definitely one of the most exciting things that I've done since I've come to the legislature. You know, I came way back in 1997 and sat on the Early Childhood Committee at that time, which was chaired by Tony Kinkle. And then you'll remember Barb Sikora also chaired that committee. So it's gone through a number of evolutions, and I'm happy to be chairing it now at this point. So it's very exciting. We have kind of a big overall goal, which would be to help more kids and families get ready for school. And when I say kids and families, we know there has to be parental involvement, and that families also have to be brought along in the process of teaching our youngest learners. That the case for early childhood, which many of you have talked about, is clearly there. If we educate kids well when they're younger, we're going to help close that achievement gap. We're going to save on special education costs. We're going to save on juvenile justice costs. We're going to have better higher education system, and ultimately a better workforce, which seems to tie in everything my colleagues have talked about and kind of the purpose of the committee. So it fits together very well. When we talk about big goals, and we're looking at the big picture because we're not sure how we're going to do it this year. Ours also, along with Representative Mariani, is closing the achievement gap. That's our first thing that we're really looking at in our committee. How do you do that? Well, in early childhood, you really look at school readiness programs and which kids are getting those programs. We're going to look at the governor's proposal on scholarships. Are scholarships the right way to go? Should we be funding kids at risk and doing those kinds of programs? So ECFB in targeted areas and making sure that at-risk parents are getting good ECFB programs, those would all fit under closing the achievement gap. The second, we have three big ideas. Our second big idea is to increase quality. And I know I have a couple of members of my committee that are on here. When you talk about increasing quality, you're talking about everything from grandma taking care of kids to your most advanced center taking care of kids. So how does grandma know what kids need to get ready to learn to get ready for school, and how does a center know? Well, in our committee, we're going to look at quality and helping everybody from grandma to the center determine what that means. Because we know really the biggest difference for little kids in their lives is what adult is with them. So we have to make sure the adults are well prepared too that are looking at this. What it really comes down to quality too also is going to be that child care funding. We have half our funding roughly, a little less than that, in the Department of Education. And then we have half our funding in the Department of Health and Human Services, and that's that childcare money. So when we're talking about quality, we're talking about your basic sliding fee scale money, your MFIP money for families that are need childcare. And it's important that we also look at the eligibility, what families are eligible to participate in our childcare programs, because we know for a workforce issue, Madam Chair, is that parents can't go to work unless they have good childcare or they have a safe place for their kids to be. Parents miss work and are out of the workforce if they don't have good childcare. Good childcare and having an educational component to childcare is very important in terms of our big goals. And then our third big goal, which is somewhat similar, Representative Mariani and Representative Greiling talked a little bit about this, but we really want to look at citizen engagement. You know, getting the public involved out there, talking to families about what works for at-risk kids, talking not just about the struggles and how the cuts have affected people, but also about overcoming those barriers. Why is it that kids or at-risk kids aren't getting into our preschool programs or into child care or into quality child care? I had the superintendent of the St. Paul Schools in my office this afternoon, and they said a big thing is getting kids immunized. You know, some of them can't participate in preschool unless they're immunized. And then if you have families that have limited English or limited health care, that can be just a big barrier that they can't come to any program or participate in a program just because they don't have their immunizations. So really look at creative solutions around what we can do in terms of getting citizens involved and talking about it. We have another area in our committee which it doesn't seem like it fits, but we have ABE and self-sufficiency programs in our committee too. So we're going to look at that lifelong learning. We're going to look at immigrant populations, people that need ABE, and we're hoping to do a good job in talking about what the investments need to be made there too. You know, Madam Chair, I saw that Representative Greiling was talking about how she'd never served on a committee with you, and I know you're going to be setting the targets, and I want to say how pleased I am that I'm sitting on a committee with you. And and we know that early childhood is very important, Madam Chair. She'll be setting our targets between the three of us, and we're kind of unclear how that's going to all come out just yet, but we hope to be looked upon favorably.
We're going to do that, Representative Slotman. We're
doing that. Oh, good. Well, all of
that's
you.
That's our responsibility.
Thank you.
I don't think I used the word I in there. I think I said we. So, Representative Rukavina, the goals of the Higher Ed and Workforce Development Committee and financial priorities.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I've got them right here in my pocket, but I can't reveal them to the committee today, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, you know, what I've been doing in my committee so far is bringing in students from around the all around the state. So far, I've gotten through the entire public education system, and tomorrow I have students from both the private and the private for-profit and private nonprofit higher education facilities testifying. And after that, I'm going to go to the different workforce development, displaced worker programs, etc., and the users of those programs and find out how they've been treated and how effective those programs are and any suggestions they may have to make them better, streamline them, dump them, whatever they've got suggestions to do. I think the members of my committee that, and I'm looking around to see who's on here that's on my committee besides the fiscal analyst. I guess I don't have any.
Are there?
I got two Republicans, no Democrats. Anyway, good, I'll take more input from them. You're just an honorary member. I think what we've heard has been kind of astounding and frightening at the same time. And, you know, the higher education budget has been somewhat of a poor stepchild for the state over the last decade and a half. And I'm happy to see the governor's put some money into the budget today, although I see there's some money that I think different committees are spending but are coming through the Higher Education Committee. But I think the most important thing I want to do is figure out how to staunch the wound, I guess, that we're putting on our future generations. I mean, I've had an email from a student that owes $180,000 in debt, $30,000 of which is interest in his first year after graduating, down to about $20,000 at a community college for a two-year program in Alexandria, so at a state facility. So it's frightening what's happening out there, and I'm going to be taking input from everyone on the committee and from everybody here in the House of Representatives on ideas they may have to help it. I know Representative Biskins has a bill in, and I see now you've referred some bills down to me, Madam Chair, but the other part of it is I have a lot of different folks coming in from the users of all of the different workforce dollars, and there's just not enough. Even I can't promise people the amount of money that they're asking for. And so whether we have to streamline those programs, readjust them, get rid of some, I don't know, because that testimony's going to start day after tomorrow. And Madam Chair, members, I'm going to have, before I start on that, tomorrow when I have the presentation from the privates, the next day I'm going to have Peter Hutchinson talk, I think, in front of the committee first, because I thought, well, you know, he did get a respectable amount of votes, even though I'm mad that he ran, but that's another point, you know, that I guess is moot at this time. But I'm going to ask him for his input. We're going to be really touchy-feely in my committee and include everybody and be all-inclusive, and in the end I'll try to make the decision. I say refer the bill up to you, Madam Chair. The status quo isn't working, and I don't think it's right to saddle our youth as they come out of a higher education institution in Minnesota with the equivalent of a house payment when they don't have a house, and something has to be done, and that's what I'm going to try to do, and I hope to have input from you and a lot of other people here.
Well, you certainly will get it, I'm sure, Representative Rukavina. The committee meetings that you all have held so far this year have been so beneficial to me. I've tried to attend all of them, and or a portion of all of them, and I've been very successful. And I've learned that we have huge problems, and no one, there isn't enough money in the governor's budget or probably any budget to meet all of the needs that are coming out. And so we're going to have to establish priorities and realistic financial goals for programs and for divisions. In your packet is a flow chart to better explain how things are working. And for the visitors and watchdogs and people that are following education, and I have seen some of your faces before, and I have a stack of, I have to see you immediately kind of telephone messages. I haven't responded. We're keeping a list. We hope to get back to you, but I may have to start some evening appointment kind of things. But there is a worksheet for you to complete, and please return that to Mr. Chen, our committee clerk, or Ms. Gosek, our committee administrator, or myself when you get them done. And you can have a single sheet if you represent one person or one group or one request, a single sheet, or if you have many people that you represent, you can do two or three sheets. But that's for the people in the audience who I consider to be resources. And members of the committee, I asked you to be prepared. You've heard from the chairs now. And I asked you to come telling why you signed up for a committee. Four of you, this is your opportunity to be on an education committee. The rest of you are on more than one education committee and this committee. And so you bring working knowledge of several particular issues to this as a whole. But I'm curious on what your goals are, or what your why you came, why you want to help form this education for the future, and what issues in particular do you want solved. Representative Demmer, you're the lead Republican, and I welcome you to the front of the table. And I will start with you.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. It's kind of scary when you say it that way.
You're part of the responsibility team.
I understand that, Madam Chair. I guess the reason I say that is there are a lot of people both in my caucus and in the DFL caucus that have a lot more time and experience than I have in this. And it's a great honor and it's a privilege to have that, and I take it very serious. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for putting this together and for giving us a chance to do this. A little background. It's kind of exciting. There's a lot of folks in here. I've served in committees over the last 4 years in education especially, and some folks you haven't served with before. It's kind of neat. My background in the area of public service is school board. I was on a school board for 11 and a half years before I came to the legislature, and I'm starting my third term for those who don't know me. Other than that, I'm a businessman, former farmer, and a business person. So that's my background. Madam Chair, I guess what I like about the idea of this and the way things are set up, I like your vision of the umbrella and what this committee can do as we look at overarching everything from PK with pre-K with Representative Slawick all the way to higher ed and workforce development through Representative Rukavina, and K-12 in the middle, and also having Representative Mariani's policy committee. I get a chance to serve on two of the committees with Representative Mariani and also Representative Greiling. I really like the idea that we can take this committee and look at the overall education system we have in our state. A couple of priorities for me, and I've talked about this in some of the other committees, transition. We transition from kids when they're, before they go to school, going to school. It's a big thing for especially brand new parents when they start going to school, and also the kids obviously going to kindergarten. That's a transition time. It's huge. And we also have a big transition, as we've talked about, as we heard the governor talk about, and a lot of us here have talked about, transitioning from the high school years into college. And I think this committee can kind of help overarch that, and we can look at policies, procedures, and or funding that might help bridge that and give us a continuum of education as opposed to the fragmented approach that maybe has been in the past. So it's a huge, as you said, Madam Chair, it's a huge responsibility. We, between us here, we'll be working with over half the state budget. A huge responsibility, but a huge opportunity. And I really look forward to the opportunity to work with you and the other members and looking at education in the next couple of years.
Thank you. Representative Peterson, Vice Chair of this Education Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm also excited about this committee because I think it's an opportunity for all of us to break down the silos that have existed between these various divisions of education, and it is an opportunity to look at a vision for where we want to go in education, preschool through college, and probably lifelong learning, and it's a chance for us to have a vision and to coordinate that with all of the committees. So I think we will be looking at a lot of the reform issues and saying which ones are those that we need to fund, which are important, which do we value, and of course serving on the Early Childhood Committee, as well as having a long time interest in K-12, I'm particularly interested in early childhood. I think that that's where everything starts at birth, and that we need to pay attention to it. We have right now the attention of the business community. They're pursuing their own their own path toward trying to get students ready for school. But having taught school at both the elementary and the high school level, I know that if students are not prepared, if they're not ready by third grade to read and to do math, that they will struggle all the rest of their lives. So we need to be very deliberate about how we deal with the early years of learning and also address the all-day, everyday kindergarten as well as K-12 funding, because that needs to be at least inflationary, and we need to be sure that our schools have the ability to do what the public wants them to do.
Thank you. Representative Abler?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm also pleased to be here. I'll be brief and set an example for the rest of the rank and file members, having heard good long discussions from the leadership. Just three things, that, and many more that I care about, but I think Carlos mentioned the disparity issue, and I think that we have to find a way to get our arms around that and make a genuine difference, because those are people's futures that we really do affect. I think accountability is important, but I'm all for valid accountability measures and not some pretend ones that just make nice little postcards. And I think that we can put our heads together and find some good ways to make sure that the money accomplishes good purposes. But in the same way, my third thing, to keep out of the way of success and the local successes that do happen, and try to sort of get those local successes to trickle their way upstream so we can ask others to model those and be very productive. So, thank you.
Representative Root.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is really an honor to be on this committee, and to echo Representative Greiling, your reputation precedes you, and I requested this committee because of that. Education was the issue that brought me to the Capitol. As a concerned parent and as an active citizen in my community, it continues to be the number one issue that I hear about from my constituents. I work as a nurse practitioner in the northern suburbs, and the patient population that I see is increasingly that of refugees, people who are arriving to our country from war-torn countries, and nowhere is the value of public education more visible than when you care for someone who hasn't had one. And I am seeing that in increasing numbers, and I think this committee, what's so exciting to me is to see that network. I feel often as a healthcare provider that I don't have anyone to pass that baton to when I care for newborns, that I'm discharging the mom and the baby, and I know that we can be doing more, so I'm interested in seeing what types of public policies we can enact to address that. So thank you.
That's one I haven't thought a lot about, so we have to talk. Representative Eastland?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I served for 12 years on the school board, and actually the Cambridge Isanding School Board in the district where I'm from. And so my interest in education has come from that perspective. I also was a licensed teacher for the first 6 years of my post-college life. I taught school actually in Roseau, Minnesota, and coached football. And so I've been up north, too. Not on your side of the state there, but up north. But so I am a parent. I have three kids who have all gone through the public school system, and they've all graduated from college at this point. So I'm, and most importantly, at this point anyway, I have a new granddaughter who's 9 months old. So I'm seeing the second generation kind of come around and seeing the importance of this thing as it affects people that are close to me as well. But I think the perspective that I come from is, and this kind of comes from, I think, my school board experience as well, is there's no amount of money that's going to solve all the problems. If we could allocate another $2 or $3 billion, we would still use that money, and we would still need more. And I guess what I'm interested in is not focusing so much on the dollars, but focusing on the outcomes that we can get. And I guess I just want to see more kids succeed. And I think I want to look at the issues that it's going to take to make more kids succeed. I think we need to look at our high school graduation rates, and we need to improve those. We need to look at our post-secondary experiences in our colleges and the opportunities that brings and the kids that graduate. And I think the ultimate measure that we need to be really concerned about at this point is to having a highly trained workforce. I think that's going to be key to our future. And so what do we have to do to in our educational system to begin to move us in a direction that's going to get us there? And I hope our discussion isn't limited to we can't do because we don't have resources. I hope we can look creatively at what we can do with the resources that we have and put them in the right places so we can make the right strategic decisions to really move our system forward.
Good. Representative Arnstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and like everyone else here, I'm very excited to be serving with you and to be on both this committee and Representative Mariani's committee. I'm in my third term, and every time I've been in election, education has been the number one issue, as it has been in Representative Root and maybe just about every district in the state. My background is in education, as soon as I got involved in our parent council at our kids' public school in Minneapolis and served as its chair and realized how complex all these issues are, especially at the local level. We were involved in a funding battle with our district at the time, and I think that's one of the important issues in an urban district that I represent. But beyond that, the achievement gap clearly is the overarching issue in our district, and I'll be bringing forth and would love support, ideas, input on various ideas I have around class size, organizing parents more effectively, particularly in immigrant communities. I'll be bringing forth some ideas around high school and career centers, looking at our assessment system more critically, and also an issue that I'm very, very passionate about, which I think also has implications for this committee because it's a workforce development issue, the issue of the Ford plant and the Minsky facility there and what we're going to do with that facility and the 2,000 jobs that are there. That's also something that I think is part of the title of this committee, economic competitiveness. So these are all some ideas that I have and really look forward to serving with you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Root.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, this is the first time that I've been able to serve on an education committee, so I'm very honored to be here. And frankly, I wanted to serve under you, Chair. So I really appreciate the ability to be able to serve here. And I'm on the Early Childhood Caucus, and so I'm enjoying in that and have been in the past. And yes, I too am a grandma now, so it's all these things are coming back, and it really puts it foremost in my mind. Serving on the higher ed and workforce development, I like the way it's set up so that those that if we need new training for those, we're able to do that in the same committee. And I serve on the board for the Owatonna College and University Center in Owatonna. And so that is the reason I wanted to serve on those. We have quite a diverse population in our district, and so I too am really very concerned about the disparity that we have among the funding. Those are my main issues. Honored to serve. Thank you.
Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Everybody's excited about something. I'm just excited I got reelected. Anyway, the reason I'm on this committee is because I asked to be on it. I knew you were the chair, and having been on a Pensions Commission with you and just watching how people react, there's probably not a representative in this body or the Senate that doesn't think of Mary Murphy as one of the most wonderful people around. So you have a good reputation. I'm glad to be on your committee.
Thank you.
Everybody in my family almost is either a farmer or a teacher. And I taught math for 31 years, and I coached football and wrestling, so why wouldn't I be on this or want to be here, I guess, is what I'm saying. But some of my things that I worry about, early childhood, achievement gap, that's why I'm on that committee. we need to spend money there. I think that's, if you're going to spend money someplace, that might be the smartest place to start, because by time, if you put it too much in the high school, it might be too late for, well, it is too late for a lot of them, although I agree with making it more rigorous. I'm also concerned about the standards, the social studies standards, and Representative Mariani has agreed to let my teachers come up and talk about how the standards have affected the, how they teach social studies, which I'm looking forward to. I'm also concerned about equity of pay. I know that Representative Heidgerken in Freeport has issues for funding that Rosemont, Apple Valley, Eagan does not have, and vice versa. And I want to make sure that everybody gets funded, not just the rich folk who can pass a levy. So that's something I'm looking at. I'm also, being a math teacher, I know several strong math students who elected not to go into teaching because they could get a better paying job elsewhere as a mathematician or something in the sciences. And we've got to do something to fix that, which means some creative way to make sure teachers do get paid, because a lot of teachers, I'll be honest with you, I told my kids, don't go into teaching because you're going to be poor. I flat out said, you know, don't go into teaching. And they didn't. One's a lawyer and one's a Marine. But and they both make more money than I ever did. But that shouldn't be that. I shouldn't be saying that to my kids, because we lost some very quality people, and they're not the only ones. But I just told them, you know, unless you want to go without a lot of the time. The only reason I survived is because I was in the Marine Reserve, and I made $10,000 a year going to drills in Chicago. Otherwise, we couldn't have made it, and it allowed my wife to stay home and bring up our kids. And I do have a brand-new grandchild, 11 months old, and if you're looking for a prototype of the perfect grandson, I have pictures. And the last thing I want to say is I toured Dakota County Vo-Tech, and they, of course, there is a beg for money tour, you know, because they want me to support money for them. But they put their hat on the transportation-related area where they teach people how to fix cars. They have a GM partnership where you get that Goodrich patch. Well, they have people who teach the experts to be better experts in the GM field. They also have a heavy equipment. They have welding. And they said all of these, and you walk through it, and it's straight out of 1970. You know, they if you were to knock a hole in this wall, it's just wide enough for maybe three people to walk through. Well, they've got 12,000 pounds of steel coming in next week that has to go through that wall, which has a 2-foot step in it. If the axles aren't pulled and the cars are working on, they can get it through. But if the axles are being pulled, then they have to wait a couple days till they fix them to get into the welding area. And he said everyone, the heavy equipment, 100% placement jobs, and they got three people that they could place, but they don't have a body. They don't have enough people. They don't have enough slots. Their classrooms look like it's a warehouse, just a storage room. And so when you take a kid out of, say, Lakeville South, brand new school, shiny, nice, say, come to here to learn how to be a mechanic, they look at the dingy surroundings. Some of them just don't come because they'd rather go someplace else that's got a better surrounding. Yet they're one of the best schools around for training. So anyway, I think we're not focusing enough. We tell our kids to go to college, and we should not forget the ones who might be better off in a vocation, not to mention the ones that went to college and can't find a job, so they went back to become some vocational person. So I was just there this morning, that's why I'm talking about it, but I saw a huge need there, and I thought this is a great place to talk about it, especially since higher ed is part here. And then since you've got all these chair people here, I'm curious, are they all aware of your favorite candy and your favorite restaurant and all that?
Representative Pawlowski.
Madam Chair,
just a high school social studies teacher, a poor one at that. I've given some thought to your proposal, and I think the best answer I can give you is my mother taught me never to lie. She also taught me that the truth should never be presented so bluntly that it does an injury to anyone. That's the best answer I can give you for why I'm on this committee.
Thank you.
My mother never thought of the second part of the
issue. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am a teacher of 11 years now in the Albert Lee school system right now. I've been there 5 years and in the area for 11. And that's one of the reasons why I came to the State House. I've got six children that have graduated through the public school system, and they have all gone on to higher ed as well. I've watched the costs of higher ed increase for my daughter double in 4 years. So I have a concern there. I also have a concern with the level of funding, you know, at the high school level. But I can't help but believe that if we take care of things in the elementary school and kindergarten and start working with those group of children right now, that the benefits from helping them and funding them adequately will build wonderful results as they grow and mature and become high school students and college students and our future workers. I also have an interest, and this might be me naively talking, but I also have, as a teacher and a wife of a superintendent, and I also have an interest in creating a system that some decisions can be made for funding in a timely way that might be more conducive for allowing school districts to make scheduling decisions that are so important and meet their staffing needs in a timely manner. That's a big issue for a lot of school districts. Many of my other concerns have already been mentioned, so I won't go into them, but I look forward to working with the committee. Thank you.
Representative Brown, could you define that, you making the scheduling?
Yeah. What I can say, what's been spoken to me is that education funding decisions tend to be made toward the end of session, and there are big decisions that have to be made by districts as early as March and April as far as making staffing decisions for the following year. And so they're trying to make staffing decisions based on information that they don't have yet, and scheduling decisions as well as far as classes that they can offer. So it's a burden to them.
So,
and I know that's
the funding
big want.
Yeah. I've heard that before. Okay. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I asked to be on this committee because I believe investing in education molds our society, future, period. But I also am on this asked to be on this committee because you were my representative when I was in Proctor, and I watched you work with our schools and our communities, and so much respect and appreciate that time, and still continue to appreciate it. What do I bring to the committee? I just recently retired from 33 years in education and taught in a lot of different areas, a lot of different settings, and a lot of different curriculum areas. Since I'm fresh off of the education arena, I'm not too removed that I can't remember, that I don't remember what are some strong feelings and possibilities about what I believe we need to do to enhance and invest in our educational opportunities for all students. And I was interested in your comment about birth through death. I really appreciate that comment. Some items that I think are very important and some that are somewhat personal to me is I think we need to look at to increase and retain the quality educators, and I think Jim Aber, Representative Aber, or somebody else mentioned that as well. I myself have four children. Maybe Representative Wardlow was somebody over there. I don't remember who it was, but retention and increase the quality educators that we are going to need for our future. My wife and I have four children, and three of them went into education, and one of them has stayed in education, just barely. And again, as somebody mentioned, that you know, we lost some good people there. I believe we need to look at sizes and classes, not just in secondary, but early childhood, all aspects of education. I believe we need to bring some common sense back into the education setting. And when I talk about common sense, I mean like what we offer from our curriculum choices. We talk about having the most overweight children in the nation ever in the history, but yet we cut back and fly ahead. We talk about not having engaged students in our civics and our communities, but yet we cut back in choices of vocational and civic choices. So again, we need to have a well-rounded curriculum, I believe, as well as advanced curriculum for those that need to be challenged. And then just two more things, and I'll be done. One more thing. I also am interested in building community and parental coalitions that will support education for the enhancement of our children. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Erickson.
No, she wasn't. I just thought it was Heitker. Goodness. Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's nice to serve with you again, even though it's not pensions, it's now education. I hope that we'll address in this committee under your leadership, Madam Chair, and have a good debate on the root of the problems that I know we're going to hear about, including the achievement gap, but also a good discussion of our successes, because we have many successes to be proud of. In early education, I hope we talk about parental responsibility. In K-12, why is it that we have the top scores in fourth grade in the NAEP testing, and then as we get into the middle level and the high school level, a decline in scores? I hope that we'll debate that and try to figure out what is the cause of those problems. In higher ed, Representative Rukavina, I hope we look at transparency of costs. Well, thank you for not being here, but I think we ought to look at what is got, you know, why do universities and colleges charge what they do? I hope the question is asked of you higher ed folks, how much discretionary dollars do our students bring when they come to college, and how do they spend them? And I'm always concerned about the standards of our teacher prep programs, and those of you who are veterans know that I've been looking at that for a long time since I am a retired teacher. In workforce, what preparation do we make in grades 7, 12 to get our students ready for the workforce and make sure that our businesses feel that we've educated them to the standard that they expect? And perhaps that we use the governor's ideas to enhance career and technical. I think there's a wonderful opportunity here for our students in 7-12 who do not plan to go to a four-year college. Secondly, Madam Chair, I appreciate your saying we will set targets. I like that. Thirdly, that we honor local control as we make our decisions, and that we take a look at local control accountability. What is it that our school districts think makes good accountability or the best accountability? And finally, I'm curious about how competitive we might get in the second half of the title of this committee.
In the world?
No, Madam Chair, in this committee.
Let's see. Representative Bunn?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm very pleased to be here. This is the only education committee I am serving on at this time, and as with many other members, it's probably the most vocal issue in my district and most organized group of constituents in the district, having to do with primarily K-12 and early childhood education. But I'm primarily here because of the combination of the two sets of words, the education and economic competitiveness. My background is as an economist. I'm a former college professor, and I call myself a recovering academic, and really very much tuned into those issues that connect the two areas. At the top four areas for me are very much, there's a lot of very good research and evidence to support the issue of the early investments paying off high rewards to us in the long term, both personally for students of opening those opportunities and making them prepared to take advantage of what already exists, but also we know that in terms of other social indicators, crime, homelessness, drugs, all kinds of other things, those early experiences are actually crucial to lowering our costs down the road. And so for a variety of reasons, both what's right and also what's make economic sense for us as a state, we need to look very carefully at those early investments in early childhood and all-day K and those types of programs. Also, for me, the disparity issue is not only, again, about what's doing right, but what's essential to the future of our economy. We've just seen unveiling in the newspaper and here at the legislature, we've heard many other times before about the demographic, huge demographic change we're about to undergo. And addressing the disparities and the gap is not only a matter, I said, of bringing those kids along to create opportunity for them, but they're our future workforce. And we have to... We're going to have workforce shortages starting in the next couple of years and going for a long time, and they are essential to our future of economic growth in the state if we are to increase incomes down the road. For me, the issue of high school reform is a key idea. I have a very large extended family in Minnesota with lots and lots of nieces and nephews. I think the number is over 30 now. And also, I'm also a parent. And I see the variety of needs of high school students. There's the college bound, and there's those that need something else that plugs them into the global economy, but not be going beyond a few years beyond high school, and so maybe some vocational technical training. We have to do high school reform that addresses both of those tracks. I also, because of my background, also the members of my family, am very, and also the economic focus, very interested in whole issues of science and technology and math and bringing us up to the standards that are needed for the global economy. And we'll be interested in see what we can do in that area across the spectrum, including the lifelong learning in terms of science, math, and technology training. So many other issues that you all touched on, but I really appreciate being here and look forward to the discussion.
Representative Mason. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, too, am really excited about being on this committee. Definitely education was the top issue last year during the campaign, and I was really impressed with it was across the board, whether they were senior citizens or younger people with family. And that, to me, was a change from previous years. And whether the issue is improving early childhood programs, Head Start, or whether lowering the tuition for the higher ed, these are critical things. And I, too, was at the Dakota Votech this morning. It's criminal when you think that we're not investing in the machinery, the equipment that will provide good-paying jobs. So, I mean, we are missing a lot of holes in our education system that we need to be addressing. And my two things that I would hope we're going to provide is a stable funding process. And then the other thing that I think is critical for us to do is determine the outcome that's necessary for our citizens to be competitive in a global economy. And again, there seems to be a tremendous disparity in what we should be doing with our education system. And I'm thinking we need to come to some consensus and be consistent. And when we put the money there, we're going to stay on that course for at least 10 years rather than switching standards and programs every few years. So that, to me, is critical. And last but not least, I've served about 8 years on the 191 Community Education Advisory Committee. So, again, the community ed process and lifelong learning are definitely part of just really, really important to me.
Great. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going before you there. I had a gherkin. So, as far as why am I here, I requested to be here. Representative Rood, you know, when you go around your district and you're talking to people, education is a top priority. There's no question about it. And for a selfish reason, I've got two kids, school-aged children that I love dearly. And I want to make sure that they have better opportunities than I had. You know, when I graduated high school, I never went to college because I didn't think it was an option. And I want to make sure that my kids are prepared and that they have that opportunity. I know that's a selfish reason. I've been told that. However, I'd like to see that for everybody else, too. You know, so you can argue one way or the other on the selfishness. You listen to everybody going last or the second to last, my friend. Going last, you listen to what everybody has to say, and you know what? It's kind of ironic. I think that there's more that unites us here than what divides us. You know, Representative Mariani, you were talking about policies to close the achievement gap. Representative Greiling and Erickson were talking about local control and of the such. And Representative Slawick talked about having a good start, and that equals a strong finish. You know, I think every one of us, well, it seems to be that, again, there's more that unites us than what divides us. So that's exciting. A few of my top priorities. One of the biggest issues, largest issues that we have back home is declining enrollment. Mountain Lake, it's a small community. We have about 2,200 people, a total of, what, 551 students. But we lost 51 students in 2 years. And Round Lake, that school, lost over 30% of their kids. You know, everybody's coming up here, it seems like. Everybody's moving out of our area. And so declining enrollment is a huge issue. And even though we had one of the largest increases in 17 years, some of these schools are actually receiving less money, you know, over the last biennium. So declining enrollment. Technology is another one. You know, I'm going to say it. Representative Earhart was talking about teaching 9 different languages in his school systems. And I said, well, heck, we speak 9 different languages in ours, you know. And by utilizing technology, also, I think it can help. My son, for instance, he was talking about some foreign languages. Well, we only teach 1 foreign language in Mountain Lake, right? And our teacher does it very, very well. But my son's saying, well, Dad, you know, I was telling him the Earhart story, and he's not here to defend himself. But I was telling my son, you know, he's in 9th grade, saying, well, Dad, you know, you talk to us when you're in China and all that. Why can't we talk to these other schools and work together so I can take a language of choice? And so if my son can figure that out in 9th grade, I'm thinking that we can, you know, we can build off of that. So technology. All day, every day, kindergarten, you know, it was 9 years ago. My wife and I, before we even really started getting involved in politics, we were lobbying for all-day, everyday kindergarten in our school system. It's a dual-income family. My wife works and I work, and so people were criticizing us, saying, you're just wanting to do that to so it's daycare, you know, save on daycare. Well, this is absolutely wrong, and we went to you know, fight for that. And when my daughter came out of there compared to my son, she was just, you know, she could read like a whip. It was just amazing, amazing. The level in which she came out of the kindergarten session, and even today, her nose is in a book all the time. So it's just these early programs that we support. There's no question about it. Representative Wardlow brought up fair and equitable funding, and that's something that we need to address also. When you take a look at funding in our schools, whether it's $6,000 per pupil and compared to some other schools, it's close to double that. You know, a child is a child is a child, and I hope we realize that and make sure that we have fair and equitable funding also. So thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity, and I look forward to this committee.
Thank you. Clarification on, did your daughter go to all-day kindergarten every day, and your son didn't?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. My son, yes. Madam Chair, there's a question here. My son did go to half day. That's correct. My son went to half day. And, you know, we just, again, saw the benefits of that. And I like the talk that's been coming up about having that as voluntary. You know, we talked about local control and stuff like that. But, you know, my wife and I thought that was good, and we obviously saw the results in our child when she came out of that.
Representative Tilbury.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm proud and honored to be a part of this committee. I asked for it. Education has been my life. I can look back and say on the different things that I've been able to do, even going to high school, I can look over at Representative Gene Pawlowski and say he was my American history teacher. Mm-hmm. And he probably doesn't even realize how much impact that he had, because of his mock government courses and so on. But then I had other people tell me that there's no money in education, so I didn't go into it. I went into something else. But I have a feeling that most people, if they don't go into what they first have a love for, eventually they find it. And I found it in the counseling program. So I look at it as I worked for a college. I worked on a school board side. I was active in teachers' rights and so on that side of the table. I even drove school bus. So I guess I'm committed to children and how I can help teach them in whatever. But what you described earlier was really the developmental model.
That's what we call it in counseling. That's a guidance model, developmental model. You start with young and you work until learning isn't possible anymore, which I don't know when that would be, but that's where it would be at. I think the biggest thing that I like to think of is education is an investment. And sometimes the return on an investment isn't as great as what we'd like, but I always want to keep that at the forefront, that it's always an investment. And some people do look at it as it's a cost. And I like to look at it the other way. But there's three areas. The academic area is important, especially with counselors as we deal with that in schools, emotional and social, and career. Each one of these areas has been mentioned in everybody's presentation one way or another. When I first ran for election, we were 49th in our counselor-to-student ratio in the nation. I was informed a couple weeks ago from Education Minnesota that, no, we are now 50th. And that's the wrong trend, especially when I look at some of the proposals that Governor Pawlenty has come out with wanting things to happen. Then why are we the last in our nation in counselor per student? So if we want success, we have to look at some of the problems that are there, and we have to face them and admit that this is difficult to do. So we can't expect things to happen if we don't put our money where our mouth is.
Thank you very much. Representative Hyker, Kathy.
Are we out of time?
I saved the best for the last.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's good to see so many familiar faces that have been on previous committees. But anyway, I want to. I'm happy to be on this committee as well as the other education committees, and I've been a school teacher for 23 years, and I'm coached for 40 years, and I'm still coaching high school kids. And I don't think I'll ever leave that. I enjoy working with kids. I served on the school board, as I mentioned before, and I still serve in the Melrose Advisory Council over there as well, overlooks Head Start, among other programs. But I see Representative Brown sitting there, and my sister was on her campaign staff. I see Representative Root over there. My brother is Senate campaign chair in your district. With that said, and I remind everybody that we're here for the kids. My sister and my brother will have some good discussions. We do. But we agree on education. We're here to educate the kids and do it the best way possible. The district that I represent is very similar to Representative Coolins, Representative Leaders, Representative Markwartz, Representative Petersons. We have no regional centers. The largest town in my community, my legislative district, is about 3,500. A lot of small schools, 13 school districts, all having unique problems. The goal that I have, and I'm happy to work with Representative Greiling this year, got the lead in K-12 finance, but we need to revisit the Wendy Anderson miracle going back years ago where we funded everybody equally. Since then, we've added a good number of categoricals, among other things, and I think we've lost the mission of trying to do what the Constitution states, and that's to fund all kids equally, wherever they may be. So I'm hoping to visit more recently the 01 tax reform bill, and I'm hoping that we can undo some of those things because they have had a creation of have and have nots. The state of Minnesota promised to fund kids and to fund schools 100%. We have reneged from the 94% of 01. We're down about 78% and going down. We have been told that OU districts can do referendums, and it's very difficult to do out there when you don't have much property value. With that said, I look forward to serving on this committee, and we will have a lot of fun, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, your statements were very well thought out and obviously show how much you care and that you are buying into the idea that we can define what education in the future is going to be, and we can learn enough to make good recommendations on funding to the divisions. And we will not let the suggestions that you've made tonight go to the wastebasket. You will see them in some form or another in the next weeks. The people in the audience, as I said once before, there's a worksheet for you to fill out, and there's a whole back side if you have ideas from the statements that were made that you want to add on to. You're welcome to do that and turn them in to Mr. Chen, and we will meet again next Monday at 4 o'clock. Not 5 after 4, not 10 after 4, 4 o'clock. The meeting is adjourned.